in chapter 27, we read the word of Jehovah. Now here's the lament over Tyre, and in this he sees Tyre as a great ship in the ocean, because it was a great commercial power. So one of his allegories, you already learned that Ezekiel is great on allegories and parables and actions and all these things, trying to teach. Now he presents Tyre as a great ship out in the sea, beautiful, majestic, trading with all the nations of the world. But he sees that ship go down in the midst of the sea, in which it had earned all of its material wealth and commercial greatness. We're down in it. I think we can see that in ours. A great nation, yes. But and commerce is good. But you remember England was a great commercial power of the last century, or maybe the first part of this, but purely a second-rate nation now. We became the great commercial power. I think that we are seeing that slip out from us. And we're in an economic condition that we may have a complete economic collapse. And if we do, what do we see? We see us sinking in the sea of those surroundings from which we made our greatness. We allowed that to make out to cause our destruction. Now this is what I want you to see. So we'll not spend a lot of time in these places and all that. Turn to the 27th chapter. The word of Jehovah came again unto me, saying, Thou son of man, take up a lamentation. That's a funeral dirge, really, what a lamentation was. Over Tyre, and say unto Tyre, O thou that dwellest at the entry of the sea, that art the merchant of the peoples, unto many isles, thus saith the Lord Jehovah. Although you become great, that's up to the northwest coast there, and the main part of the city was on a little island about a quarter of a mile offshore. That was part of, really, that was a great part of it. And but God says here, now thus saith Jehovah, Thou, O Tyre, hast said, I am perfect in beauty. Now that word I am there is from the same Hebrew word, A-N-I-N-I, from which the word ship comes. A little different pronunciation, they say, but the same spelling. So if what he's saying here, that Tyre is saying, I am, will tie a ship perfect. At any rate, he's going to go on and use the figure of a speed of a ship. So either one is all right. Tyre is saying this. God is likening it unto a ship in this allegory. Thou, O Tyre, hast said, I am perfect in beauty. And God said, thy borders are in the heart of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy planks of fir trees from Sinner. That's one of the mountains up in Lebanon there, to the north. And Deuteronomy calls it that. They have taken a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. Now, many of these trees, scholars are not sure of the translation. So to make an oar out of oak would make it too heavy. So that could have been some other wood there. Or to make the deck of fir wood soon rot, pass away. So I don't know what these woods are. Well, here's a picture. The picture here is of a great ship with the planks, the best planks on the building material from anywhere in the world have gone into it. Here they've taken a cedar of Lebanon to make a mast here for the sail of it. Most of those sails were just squares, oblong pieces of one of them in those days. All right, here are your oars. They are made by benches of ivory inlaid in boxwood from the Isles of Kittim. That's the shores around Crete. A fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was thy sail, that it might be in thee for an ensign, blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha was thine awning. Right now, notice here you're taking a fine, or linen didn't make a good sail. But what he's doing, he's using all of these extravagant woods and extravagant linen here for the sail, ivory inlaid benches on what the oarsmen would sit there. He's describing here a ship of unusual beauty made in a, from materials from over the world here, the very finest. Now that's to illustrate power as a merchant company, as a marine company, a commercial company. Now he had blue and purple from the island of Elisha, of an awning. The awning's over the portal to where it might have been there on the deck. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad, Arvad is a little island up north of Sidon, were thy rulers. Thy wise men, O Tyre, were in thee. They were thy pilots. That is, the ship was being guided by the wise men of Tyre. Beautiful picture, an elegant picture to me, to describe a commercial nation that gained its wealth by commerce. The old men of Gebel and the wise men that offer envy thy coffers. That is to see that there were no cracks here, no place for water to get in. The wise men, the great men among them, were the ones that directed their ship of state. All the ships of the sea were that mariners were in thee to deal in thy merchandise. And here's a great ship, all these other ships from all over the world are dealing with and trading with Tyre. In this matter, but Tyre was the predominating power, the predominating commercial power. Persia and Lud and Put were in thine army, thy men of war. In other words, they had a mercenary army. They made their wealth, and they, instead of using their own people for the army, they hired the army. Hired foreigners to serve as the army. They were men of war. They hanged the shield with helmet. Then thee, they set forth thy comeliness. As an entire, here's where they set their shields here and the helmets, protecting the people, protecting the ships there and all of that. The men of Arvad, that little island, with thine army were upon thy walls round about. And valorous men were in thy towers. They hang thy shield upon thy walls round about. They have perfected thy beauty. All right, so you get the picture. Picture of a beautiful ship with linen, a sail, a great mast there, awnings of beautiful colors there, oarsmen here, wise men to pilot it, wise men to caulk it. See, it was caulked up and there were no cracks and all that in it. And here it was sailed the sea here, the seas of all the world, making wealth, gaining wealth for the time. Well, all right, we get that picture now. And hiring outsiders for their army, even their own people, otherwise, to make money. Now, Tarshish was our merchant. Now, that's one of the, that was in southern Spain. That was the westernmost colony of Tyre. Was our merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches, the silver, and iron, tin, and lead, the traded for thy wares. Javan, that's Greece, Tubal, and Meshach. They would be to the north there, north of Asia Minor. They were thy traffickers. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass for thy merchandise. They of the house of Togarmah, also of the north, traded for thy wares with horses and war horses and mules. The men of Dedan, that would be to the east, were thy traffickers. Many isles were the mark of thy hand. They brought thee in exchange horns of ivory with ebony. Syria was thy merchant. By reason of the multitude of thy handiworks, they traded for thy wares with emeralds, purple, and broidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and rubies. Judah, and the land of Israel were thy traffickers. They traded for thy merchandise wheat of Minnith and Panag. Now, perhaps Panag was a kind of a confession. They don't know exactly what it was. But a lot of these words were uncertain. The translators done the best they could with them, but we don't have to know what everyone means. What we see is a picture of a great commercial merchandise nation trading with all the world, gaining their wealth and riches by trading. There's nothing wrong with commerce. That's good. We're going to get that in just a moment. And honey and oil and balm. These were from Judah. Damascus was thy merchant, for the multitude of thy handiworks, by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches, with the wine of Helbon and white wool, Dedan and Javan, traded with yarn for thy wares, bright iron, cassia, calamus, were among thy merchandise, Dedan was thy trafficker, and precious cloths for riding. who was riding garments, Arabia, and all the princes of Kedar. They were the merchants of our hand, and lambs and rams and goats, and these were made our merchants. Traffickers of Sheba, that's way down to the south east, down the southeast coast of the Arabian, Great Arabian Peninsula there. Why, they traded with it. They were our merchants there. All right, and coming on down here, wherever I stopped there, traffic in thy wares, Sheba. They traded for thy wares with the chief of all spices, all precious stones and gold, Haran and Cana and Eden, the traffickers of Sheba, Asher and Kilmad were our traffickers. These were thy traffickers in choice wares, in wrappings of blue embroidered work, in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords, made of cedar, among thy merchandise, the ships of Tarshish, for thy caravans, for thy merchandise, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the heart of the seas. All right, now that's the picture of a great trading people, becoming wealthy by the trade, trading all kinds of wares all over the world. Great picture. England did the same thing. The United States there for a while, and I suppose maybe still is, I don't know. But it was a great commercial trafficking nation of the world. I think it's losing out now to Japan, Germany, maybe others. But at any rate, everyone had his day. And they were having theirs. Now in verse 26, now here's the loss of the ship. Now that great and beautiful ship, trading with all the world, and all the world engaged in traffic with them. And hence in making power great and making them rich also, giving them the things they needed. Now comes the sinking of the ship in the sea. Let's get the next picture. Thy roars have brought thee into great waters. The east wind has broken thee in the heart of the sea. Now the east wind there probably is Babylon. The Babylonians, for a while at least, held them down, and they were held down. Before I look at this, I forgot about to forget that. Turn to the 23rd chapter of Isaiah. 23rd chapter of Isaiah. Notice Isaiah's prophecy over 100 years before Ezekiel made this prophecy. Isaiah 23, beginning with verse 15. And shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten. Forgotten 70 years. According to the days of one king, that's one kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. After the end of 70 years, it shall be unto Tyre, as in the song of the harlot. Pick a harp, go about the city, thou harlot, that hast been forgotten, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years, that Jehovah will visit Tyre, and she shall return to her hire, and shall play the harlot, with all the nations of the world upon the face of the earth, and her merchants and her high shall be used of God. God's going to direct it. But the point is here that this 70 years is the period of Babylonian power, from 605 or 6 to 536. That'd be 70 years, wouldn't it? Yes. There are 70 years there. So that was the period of the duration of Babylon, the Babylonian power. Right now. So here will be 70 years in which she will be no longer the great one, but she'll revive that. And later on, Alexander the Great would destroy them, bring them to an end. So the point is that Isaiah already foretold that Babylon would not completely destroy them permanently, but for 70 years they would be in that shape. Then they will rise again, but then to be destroyed later on by Alexander the Great. So Ezekiel's prophecies of ultimate destruction came to pass. But as Ezekiel had now what Isaiah had said before him, so he would not be preaching something contradictory to Isaiah. He had that before him 100 years before him. All right, we move on now. Now let's get back to our lesson here on the fall of Tyre. And the wind will be broken from the east. Thy riches and thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers and the dealers in thy merchandise, and all the men of war, that are in thee, for all thy company which is in the midst of thee shall fall in the heart of the seas in the day of thy ruin. Right, so continue to carry out the figure. How is a great ship out in the sea? She sinks and goes down there. Right, so it's that's a picture he's still carrying out. At the sound of the cry of thy pilots, the suburbs shall shake. That little old suburban villages and towns and cities, they're at the cry of your fall, they'll shake, because the economic power is also affected by that. Now, there was a time, I'd say 25, even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if the United States had gone down, that would have made a tremendous impact on the economy and commerce of the world. But now, that Germany and Japan are coming to the front as they are, and we're getting so overhead in debt here that we can't see out, then our fall would not affect the world today, or when it does fall, as it would have a while back. He moves on, and all that handle the oar, the mariners and all the pilots of the sea, shall come down from their ships. They shall stand up in the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard over thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves bald for thee, and gird them in sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee in bitterness of soul and bitter mourning. Now why? Because with the fall of Tyre, their commerce fell also. They didn't have that world trade that they had. And so they had the economic collapses as well as Tyre going down. So that's what they're weeping for. Now this is, you'll understand that with this study. Now if you turn to Revelation 17 and 18 and read there of the fall of the harlot there, which I think was Rome. That was the Babylon of John's day. That was Rome. Right now, with the fall of Rome, now here are the sailors and the mariners. They're crying out because of all of that, because they have lost their wealth and their means of gain. Let me just see if I've got that in. I don't know. This little Bible's got it all gone here, a lot of part of it. No. Okay. All right, I was going to try to read that, but pass over. Now let me move on now. And make greatly mad. Say, who is like unto Tyre? Who is like Tyre? Like her that is brought to silence in the midst of the sea. When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many peoples. Now there is the good side of commerce. Now, neither Ezekiel nor John in Revelation are condemning trade and commerce. Because the world is benefited by commerce. Our goods are sold over there, their goods are sold over here. And so here's an exchange of goods, don't you see, among them that's good for the societies of all nations. But here's the bad side of it. But now here, thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. That's greed. Now here, one side of commerce is good. Well, we're so glad of that. If you ever stop to think about it, what would you have this morning that you had produced? I didn't make this suit. I didn't make the car. I didn't drill the well that got the gasoline. I didn't turn the crude oil into gasoline. I didn't transport it from here to yonder. I'm indebted to people for everything we had this morning. Our breakfast, what we had to eat for breakfast, our means of getting up here, this book that I'm reading from here, I didn't print a single word of it, but I've had all it. I'm indebted to somebody for what I have. Now, the bad side of it is that men in their greed have corrupted themselves with it. Now, that's our problem over here. There's nothing wrong in developing television and electronics and all that. But the use we've made of it for greed is going to be the cause of our destruction, our moral destruction here. I mean, all of these things together. Right now, you take this international banking system. We've been reading about that. about $5 billion had been corruptly stolen there. Why not? Nothing wrong with banking. It's good that I can put my money down there, what I have here, and I can write a check and all of that. That's good. But now that when men in their greed turn to dishonest means of taking away from others by that, that's bad. So you see, the good side, we must not overlook the good side and condemn the whole thing, but let's see the good side and condemn the bad side and try to correct the bad side out of it. I believe this is the teaching of the Bible on these matters. That commerce is good, trade is good. Abraham was a man that flocks and herds, but he had to sell them, trade them for goods that he needed and all of that. Nothing wrong with that. But when an individual or a nation or an individual becomes greedy and he wants to coin and dishonest and corrupt, men are stealing from others in that, misrepresenting, that's when the thing's wrong. And that's what brings about the going down in the middle of the sea. Here in the sea in which we've made all this wealth that we've made, now in the sea of that wealth and corruption, we're going to be drowned in the middle of it. You get that picture? Is that picture God's teaching? That isn't it, folks. I've been reading the Bible. The trouble in their countenance. The merchants among the people hiss at thee. Now, the word hiss at that time meant amazement. I think they're really the word is they were amazed. They were amazed at thee. Thou art become a terror, and thou shalt nevermore have any being. Well, they did have being, but nevermore now. But I want you to remember this. I pointed this out last Sunday or two ago, study this, from Jeremiah 18. God said, I'll bless the nation. If they turn away from their righteousness, I won't do it. If I say I'll destroy a nation, they turn away from their wickedness, I'll spare them. Nineveh was a case, an example, you remember? When Jonah went to Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What happened? There they repented. They changed. They turned from that and God spared them. So that apparently here, with this promise here, of never going again being, that is, if you go on that condition. But if a change takes place, which I think did take place, for Isaiah said, the end of 70 years, God will restore them there. So what Ezekiel is doing here, he's pointing out the present condition and what's going to happen to you. Isaiah said something more would happen, and Ezekiel recognizes that. What he is seeing is in this present condition. Something got to change. Same thing with our own nation. This present condition, we are headed for the rocks. But we can change. But I see no evidence of it. We can change and must, or we're going to, we're going to go down in the middle of the sea. Of our own corruption here, drowned in our own corruption and wickedness and greed and all of that. All right. Now, he moves from Tyre itself as a commercial nation to the king of Tyre. Now, let's look at that. Here then, as it talks about him, the word of Jehovah came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, that's the ruler, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art man, and not God, though thou didst set thy heart as the heart of God. Now, this is using another of his figures here, of his allegories. Here is the king, the prince, the ruler, came proud and arrogant, took unto himself the glory of all that. He was a god among the heathen gods that they worship, thought of himself as such. But now you're not God at all, you're just a man. So there are some folks who take I'll get to that in a minute. They think this king of Tyre here really was the devil back in the Garden of Eden. I think it's a ridiculous idea, but I'll explain it to you in a moment. Let me move on. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is hidden there. There is no secret that is hidden from thee. That is wiser than Daniel in your rule and commerce and all that. Daniel was wiser with regard to God. But he was wise as an economic and political figure. As an economic or commercial figure. By thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. That's what he's talking about, you see. And hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Now that's the thing that commerce, which brings wealth, leads to. It leads to lifting up in pride and arrogance, and one leaves God out of his thinking, and he substitutes his own wisdom for God. You know what's happened to this country? We've ruled God out of our thinking, the average people have, and we say we're God. We're the determiner of our own destiny. We are not. God's going to determine that. But I think I see in this country here now, atheism and humanism, and all of this is taking control. Hear this ACLU. I read somewhere about 10,000 members in it. And yet it's dictating the policies of this nation toward the criminal. They're exercising their power there. It's these vocal minorities that really are destroying things, and the great majority of people are letting them do that. ACLU, or even secular writers, are writing about those fellows and what we're letting them do in this country here. You can't execute a man, a criminal, you can't execute him. They won't let you. They cry to high heaven, and the government listens to them. Here they have abortion clinics here. The ACLU is back of that. You can't put an adult criminal to death, but you can kill a million before born babes here, and that's a fine thing. That's good. That's all right. ACLU is back of all that stuff, promoting all that. Oh, I live there because of your riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah. Now get it. Because thou hast set thy heart at the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against thy beauty and thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the heart of the seas. All right? Now you're coming down to reality now. Now here he's used the figure of the ship, but now then you've exalted yourself. Now God's going to bring against you the forces of your own destruction. Well, can't God do that with us too? Sure, we're not God. We're not the determiners of our destiny. God is. And so when we get so great that we don't need God and rule God out, and it's the great I ams of this country are those in control and all that, or God can bring against us something. It can be an internal economic collapse that will throw this country into the awfulest confusion you ever heard of, ever saw. Or it could be that some nation gets its atomic bomb and begins to drop it on. Or God has a way of turning. Here's Bush and Gorbachev there. They're bosom companions now. Dead enemies 10 years ago. Bosom enemies now. What can they be another 5 or 10 years? Or you can turn right around and be just like they weren't throwing bombs at one another. So don't put too much confidence in what these political leaders and rulers are doing. But God is in control. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? So when you're slinking, you still say, I'm God. But thou art man and not God, in the hand of him that woundeth thee. You're in the hand, whether it's the army that does it or whether it's God that's using the army. You're in the hand of somebody else. You know, you don't control your own destiny. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord Jehovah. All right, now that God declares the end of the prince, the ruler. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation. That's the funeral dirge now, over the king of Tyre. Back down it was over the Tyre itself. Now it's over the king of Tyre. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, thou sealest up the sun as a measure of pattern, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Now this is a passage that some fellows think is a description of Satan back in the garden of Eden before the fall. Silly thing. Why does Ezekiel bring that in? No, he's talking about, he's using another allegory now. Now there's an allegory of the nation. Now here now he talked about the prince himself. Here's an allegory describing in a very vivid way his estimate of himself and the height to which he had reached here. So he says here, you see all this up here. A tie and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum of full of words and so on. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. There were about nine of them. Now all of these were in the high priest's breastplate here, plus three more. Now the Septuagint version adds the other three here, but the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was in thee. In the day that thou wast created, they were prepared. Thou wast the anointed cherub that covered it. And I set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's those precious stones he was talking about. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till unrighteousness was found in thee. By the abundance of thy traffic, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore have I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed thee. Right? Now, he's talking about the king of Tyre. He's not talking about the devil and the origin of the devil any more than back in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. There he's called old Lucifer, the son of the morning. Well, people thought for a long time that was Satan back then. No, it wasn't Satan. That was the king of Babylon. He's talking about the king of Babylon under that figure there. He's talking, Ezekiel is talking about the king of Tyre under a similar figure. An individual here that would exalt himself unto God, who is blessed with all the good things that God provided as in Eden, but now he said, you're just a man. That's what he says here. But notice he's just a man here in this verse 16. By the abundance of thy traffic, thou fill the midst of thee with bonds, and thou hast sinned. Therefore have I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and the place that I've given you, a high place here, of prosperity and wealth and riches. All right? Now let's look at our own country here. Here's this idea of all this traffic and drugs and all that, making a lot of people rich, but ruining and destroying the nation. All of that, God will call all of that to account one of these days. That leads to our own destruction here. And God said, and I have destroyed the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I have cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings, that they may behold thee. By the multitude of thine iniquities, in the unrighteousness of thy traffic. And that's the misuse of it, don't you see? Thou hast profaned thy sanctuaries. Therefore have I brought thee, I brought forth thee fire from the midst of thee. I have devoured it and devoured thee, and I have turned thee to ashes upon the earth in the midst of thee. Of all them that behold thee. I want you to look at that last expression. Therefore have I brought, and it's by the multitude of thine iniquities, in verse 18, in the midst of unrighteousness, by thy traffic, thou hast profaned thy sanctuary. In other words, your destruction came from within yourself. Isn't that where a nation of destruction comes from? It comes from within itself. From within yourself has come forth that which has destroyed you. You made your wealth, you misused it, you let it corrupt your thinking, corrupt your lives. So like all these movies and all the corrupt movies they're putting out these days, what's the purpose of it? Why bring all that stuff for money? Money. The publishers are making money. Preying on the lust of the people. And yet the people are dumb enough to buy all that kind of stuff. And so within ourselves is arising the fire of our own destruction. Now God's taught that before. Taught that over in Isaiah there. Of here's the king out of the rod there. Comes forth his own rod, comes forth his destruction. So here the destruction of Tyre comes from within itself. The destruction of the United States comes from within itself. Not a nation on God's earth could destroy this nation of wicked militarily right now. And yet it's crumbling. It's being destroyed. From where? From within. That's what Ezekiel's trying to tell them. That's what Ezekiel's trying to tell every nation on earth today through his message. So who's listening to him? Who's paying attention? Very few. Now God says here, I have turned thee to ashes. All they that know thee among the peoples shall be astonished at thee. Thou art become a terror, and thou shalt nevermore have any being. Well, it will. It was ultimately destroyed. It did have 7 years. And then at the end of the 7 years, the divide began. But then at the end of that, after a while, it was ultimately destroyed and there was no further being. Well, that's time. I hope you'll read that over again sometime before we forget what we've said here. And try to see in it what Ezekiel saw. Men looked at the fall of Tyre as a great commercial and economic calamity. Ezekiel looked into it and saw God exercising his judgment against greed and corruption. And that's the lesson we can learn and get from it today. Well, the next one is Sidon to the north there. Those are Phoenicians. Small nation now, small city-state now, at the time of this of Ezekiel. It, too, will be brought to north and be cast down. Well, with that one then, now, he turns next against Egypt. Egypt, the great power. I think, class really, although he's talking about Tyre, and that was the destiny of Tyre, I think he intended for the people to see in that the fall also of Babylon. Babylon following the same pattern as a great commercial center of the world to the east there, as Tyre was to the west, and allowing its wealth to corrupt it, it too would fall. So the thinking Jew should be able to see through what he said about Tyre and say, all right, since Jeremiah had said that it wouldn't be but 70 years. 70 years they'd come back. And so if they would remember what Isaiah said about time, the 70 years, and then now they would be in Babylon 70 years, and that Babylon's following the same path of time, so they would fall, and that we'll be released from them at that time. I think they should have been able to see that, although maybe not. Because it does say in verse 25 of this, "Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the nation." So he's saying there that he is going to redeem and bring back his people from his captivity. They come back to the homeland once more. Well, we covered a lot of ground, but I want to try to make one or two points. And if I made one or two points, then I got the lesson across. That's all we're trying to do. And as far as all those towns are concerned and all that different kind of merchandise and things, we don't know, they don't amount to anything. The thing that concerns us is here was a great nation, made great by proper commerce north, but allowed that to corrupt it. And we're down in the middle of the sea of its own surroundings there. And any nation can do the same thing. And when a man exalts himself as God, God will bring him down also. We don't have any gods among us today, anywhere. No, in the church, out of the church, except Jehovah God, Christ. All right, we'll stop there. Finish. We'll go ahead with the next two chapters next time.